Welcome to the Michael Rivera What Really Happened radio show.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show today. It's Saturday morning. If you're looking through the webcam, we're just starting to get a little bit of light over there on the eastern horizon out the window. And we're obviously getting into the autumn time of year here as we come down to the end of September. Obviously, the big news right now is the bombing of the hotel in Pakistan. And everyone's saying, oh, those bad old Al-Qaeda, ooh, Al-Qaeda, how could they do such a thing? And, of course, that's exactly my question. How could they do such a thing right now? I mean, Pakistan, the government was finally starting to stand up to the U.S. and say, stay out of our borders, stop killing our civilians. The Pakistani government was doing what we presume Al-Qaeda would want, kick the U.S. out. And then all of a sudden, there's a terrorist attack. Just when the U.S. needs to prove to Pakistan that Pakistan needs the U.S. to be inside its borders to protect it from Al-Qaeda, otherwise known as the toilet. Plus, we've already got conservative pundits or observers, commentators like Pat Buchanan, are already all over the media saying that this is obviously going to work to John McCain's advantage. Because his big campaign issue is protecting us against terrorism. And he needed a good terrorist attack to go into the debates this week against Barack Obama. Because Obama's going to be talking about the economy. And heaven forbid we can't let Barack Obama talk about the economy, because that's a loser for the GOP, which has had control of the entire government's economic policy for most of the last 12 years. So we need a good terrorist attack right now, and by golly, they got one. Now, the report from the scene is of a crater 50 feet across and 20 feet deep, supposedly from a truckload of explosives. This is a considerably larger crater than the one that was reported to be at the Oklahoma City bombing, which was also a truck full of explosives. And the report of a truck being there is not based on any physical forensic evidence. There is a single eyewitness who said, ooh, this truck drove up and then it went bang. Now, given the devastation in the area and the number of people dead, it is rather interesting to speculate how somebody standing close enough to see the truck actually drive up is still alive afterwards to tell us about it. But I have to tell you in all honesty that I am very suspicious about this bombing, its timing as a distraction from the economic news, and to give McCain something to talk about in the debates, is just a little too cute. And I have to wonder, is the toilet trying to help John McCain get elected? Now, for those of you new listeners who don't understand what I mean when I talk about the toilet, the word Al-Qaeda, the literal translation, means the base. And it supposedly came off a filing cabinet at CIA Langley that held the files on the database or the support base of the Mujahideen fighters who were helping the United States against the Soviet Union, Charlie Wilson's war, that whole thing. But in Arabic slang, Al-Qaeda means a toilet. And Araisha Al-Qaeda means I'm going to the bathroom. I'm going to go take a dump. I'm going to do things that I can't say on this here radio station without getting the FCC license pulled. So if you were a terrorist group and you wanted to inflict fear on the great Satan, America, are you going to call yourself the toilet? I don't think so. It's a wonderful name. It sounds really cool. And it just got into common usage because of the CIA going back to Afghanistan. But on close examination, it's obvious it's not a real name created by any real Arabs to name a real terrorist group. It's all a hoax. It's all a fake. Remember, folks, we live under a government that lies to us. They lied to us about Saddam's nuclear weapons. Excuse me, Mr. President, nuclear weapons. We live in a government which has been far less than forthcoming about pretty much anything that's been happening to us lately. We know our government lies to start wars. We know our government has been lying about who's responsible for the torture scandal that we've been seeing. And by the way, there's a new video up on the What Really Happened website today showing what Americans are doing to the people we're just kidnapping in these foreign countries that we think might be terrorists. We don't really know that they are. We just beat them up until they admit they are and then hold them up for the newspaper saying, see, we caught one. We caught a real terrorist. He's really Al-Qaeda. He admits to kidnapping and killing Charles Lindbergh's son. So we have to be very careful when we get these things sent to us or told to us that it's Al-Qaeda that blew up the hotel in Pakistan. We know that there are some very serious questions remaining about 9/11. We know there are still very serious questions about the Oklahoma City bombing. We know there are still, even the United States Congress is saying we're not getting the straight story about the anthrax letters. So don't take this at face value, because this Pakistan bombing, the timing is too cute. It comes out exactly on the same day when Bush is getting ready to announce the exact details of this new bailout plan of his, and believe me, we're going to be getting into that starting on the next segment. And it comes out just days before John McCain faces his first debate with Barack Obama. And the polls are already showing that because of the economic turmoil, confidence, trust, faith in the GOP as a whole, and in McCain in particular, is starting to go into a major slide. And, of course, the disaster from Alaska isn't helping matters any either, with her, you know, witch hunter pastor problems that are just now surfacing. So McCain needs something. He needs a big bang so he can wave Al-Qaeda at us again and wave terror at us and say, you know, you got to vote for me. I'll keep you safe from those Muslim terrorists, you know. And that darned Obama, he wants to talk to other world leaders and make peace. What kind of a plan is that? We've got to build bigger bombs, and you all have to make sacrifices, just like you did back in the 1950s and 1960s when we waved Russians at you. And it scared you so bad, you'd shovel the money into the fire just as fast as you could, just so that you'd have the illusion of being safer than you were the night before. Same old scam over and over and over again. They're still playing the game by the rules that used to work in the 1950s and 1960s. They're not getting the traction anymore. The poll numbers are beginning to show it. They're pushing as hard as they can. They're selling as hard as they can. There may even be more terrorist attacks that are always going to show up exactly when it serves the U.S. interests to do it. This bombing may have been a warning by the United States to Pakistan to stop complaining about the cross-border raids and the dead civilians. It may have been a little message saying, you know, we can do a lot more to your country whenever we feel like it, if you don't play ball with us. It could very easily be that kind of a situation. We don't know. That's the problem when you live under a government that you know is lying to you and a media that helps them do it. You don't know. You cannot know. Certainly, you have to go out and find out for yourself and think for yourself and decide for yourself. Because if you just sit there in front of that TV set or that newspaper and let them tell you what to think, you are going to think exactly what they want you to think. Mind control isn't this big science fiction ray gun that they point at you and turn you into a zombie and say, yes, I will do what you wish. All mind control is controlling the brain by controlling what it knows. The job of the corporate media, TV, newspapers, magazines, is to give you only that information that will cause your brain to conclude what the government wants you to conclude of its own free will. That's what propaganda does. That's all that mind control is, controlling the brain by controlling what it knows. To be free, you must go out and work to develop your own information sources and decide for yourself what it all means. Don't let them tell you what to think. Don't even let me tell you what to think. Go out, get the facts, figure it out for yourself. A skeptical people is a free people. We're going to take a break here. If you'd like to join us on the air on this Saturday, the number is 866-582-9933, 866-582-9933. Ethan is twiddling the dials and flogging the mutant hamster today. So call in and say hi to him and join us on the air with whatever your rant is. I want to hear how you're dealing with the economy, whether you think the bailout's a good idea or not. We'll be right back.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means...
Which means they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Call Mike now at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231.
And aloha, America. Welcome back. And yes, I put out the wrong phone number at the end of the segment. I gave you the phone number for the weekend show. And that's right, it's Saturday. You've got me for a whole 2 hours. Actually, a little more, an hour and a half for the rest of the day. So once again, that number, if you want to get on the show and rant with me about the economy, is 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. During the break here, I fired up the old web browser here, and I went out to some of the travel sites. You know, Travelocity and what's the other one that Shatner is always pushing, and those things. They always have photographs of the various resorts that they're always selling trips to. And I went out and I took a look at some photos of the Marriott Hotel in Islamabad, the one that just got bombed. And the first thing that struck me in looking at the views from the outside is there really isn't a significant amount of security. It's basically it's a gate is all it is. And we're being told that this huge truck was parked away from the hotel because apparently it's being assumed, because nobody actually knows. They don't have the driver. They don't have the perpetrator. They're saying this truck was outside because it couldn't get through security. Well, I'm looking at the security in the pictures I'm seeing, and a truck of that size could have just driven right through it without any question. And even if it stopped at the security gate, it's still going to be closer to the hotel than where the bomb crater is. So... already the story is not making a lot of sense. The official story is not making a lot of sense. And given the size of the crater, you know, I'm kind of wondering, are all our stealth bombers accounted for at the moment? We have a caller on the line. We're going to go to Thomas in Sweden. Aloha, Thomas. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, Mr. Rivera.
What can we talk about for you?
Okay, I've had something on my mind. I think it was since about Wednesday. It was 3 o'clock in the morning here, and you were doing your weekday show.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned how we get these presidents who are selected, and they make a mess, and they don't finish the job, and they start wars, and they wreck the economy and so forth. And you went to a break, and when you came back, our Cherokee friend from Oklahoma, Clarence, was there, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But you and he went on into a totally different subject. What I was hoping that Clarence, as a Native American, would say, is if you're going to do anything monumental, you have to think 7 generations ahead before you do it and think of the consequences. That's all. I've had that on my mind since last Wednesday.
Well, no, that's a very good thought to make because, I mean, if you look at what's going on right now in the United States with George Bush and his bailout of the financial institutions, this is a repeat of what his father did back in the 1980s with the savings and loan crisis. And it's the same pattern. They insure everything at taxpayer expense up to the hilt. They take away the regulations, let all of their cronies get incredibly rich, you know, and become multimillionaires, and then when the system crashes, they transfer the losses onto the taxpayer. Okay? This is nothing new. George Bush, our president, is simply redoing what his dad did, the same scam, just a little bit bigger. The numbers are a little bit larger. But it is. It's the same scam. They've been playing the same game. We have had, you know, close to 20 years of this Bush-Clinton duopoly playing these games with our economy to basically enrich themselves and their friends and stick us with the bills. And, yeah, it's a long-term family plan. You know, it goes all the way back to Prescott Bush, who made the first Bush fortune by backing Adolf Hitler's rise to power in Germany. And they made a huge amount of money off the Third Reich before the war started. And we know that our president was business partners with Osama bin Laden's older brother in a company called Arbusto Energy. It's just all a game to them. And the pain and suffering and death that happens to other people, they don't see it. They don't feel it. They're isolated from it. It's an abstraction to them.
It's not limited to the United States either. We experience difficulties because of the 1980s problem here. Pensioners, for example, had their pension reduced by a few percent, and instead of them being paid on the 15th of every month, they moved it 4 or 5 days ahead, or back, rather, to about the 19th or the 20th. So they're making still, the government here is still making 5 days interest on the pensioners' money. My bank here had bad loans with Lehman's, and they've lost billions of dollars this week.
Yeah, that's one of the downsides of globalism, because, you know, the business leaders think, oh, globalism's great, we have a global market, we make much more money. But the problem is, you know, national borders serve the same function for economies that fireproof doors do in building. It contains an accident so it doesn't destroy the whole structure. And this whole idea of globalism was very risky for reasons we're only just seeing now. If you tie everything together in one huge derivatives-linked mess, you know, a problem in one area, especially a large economy like the United States, when it goes down, it drags everything else down with them. And, you know, Bush is trying to bail out our own stock market at taxpayer expense, but we can't bail out the rest of the world. And well, it really is a very ugly mess.
You said the magic word globalism. I equate globalism with Stalinism, because when Stalin came in and took over the Soviet Union, he had people making tires, let's say 300 kilometers to the east in one province, and then they would make the wheels 300 miles west in the next province, so that no place was ever self-sufficient enough to be independent.
Yes. That's exactly right. It was a way of imposing control. And, you know, it all comes down to this ego. Every 100 years, planet Earth is cursed with a group of people who thinks they can unite it all and wreck it all and run it all, rather. And they wind up wrecking it. I mean, well, Alexander the Great conquered all of the known world, and he sat there and said, look, I'm really cool. I conquered it all. And then he did no succession planning whatsoever. So when he died, it all fell apart because he didn't want anybody else to be emperor of the entire world except him. And we call this guy great. I'm sorry. I think he's a total... I have to be careful about my language on the radio. Jerk. We'll settle for jerk. We'll settle for jerk. Anyway, listen, real quick. Clarence has actually come on the line. Would like to say hello to you, Thomas. So, Clarence, welcome to the show. Say hi to Thomas. We're coming up on the break, so we have to be fast.
Okay. Hello, Thomas. I hope everything's fine this week. Yes,
I'll let you take over. I'll drop out and I'll listen to you. You're smarter than I am.
Oh, no, believe it. I'm not, but I'll talk.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Good talking to you.
Aloha, Thomas. Thank you for joining us in Sweden. All right, Clarence, we got about 45 seconds before this segment, so obviously we're going to be holding you over into the next one, and we've got another call on the line from Oregon. We'll get to you next segment,
I
promise.
Okay, I'll make this real brief, and I'll be off.
Yeah.
And let's see. I could start now, but then I guess, you know, I don't know. Maybe I could tap dance or something.
Well, just start. Tease us into the commercial break so we don't lose any listeners
about,
over there.
The Cherokee form of government back during the Revolution, and there's some interesting points that a lot of people probably don't know about our Constitution and their influence on it. And so that's basically what I'm going to be just a little real quick observation.
Well, there's the music, so you're going to have to hold that thought for a little bit. So, Clarence, stick with us till the next segment. Mo, I know you're on hold. Thank you for your patience. We'll get to you into this next segment as well. This is the What Really Happened radio show. I'm your host, Mike Rivero. The call-in number, the correct call-in number for Saturday shows, 800-259-9231. We'll be back talking about the economy and everything else after these words from our sponsors.
maybe he'll wonder what it's all been for. He's George W. Bush.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. The phone lines are just filling up, so we're going to go back to Clarence in Oklahoma. Clarence, please continue.
Okay. Well, I will say that was Thomas there in Sweden? Had it right. He's obviously studied Native American history here. The Cherokee Nation, matter of fact, as recently our current chief, Chad Smith, has even spoken of that rule about you got to consider what the consequences of your actions are seven generations from now. And in the olden days, well, back during the Revolution, the Cherokee Nation is a branch off. It's split off from the Iroquois Confederation, which was up in the northern part of New York area, the New England states. They moved south into Georgia, Tennessee, that area. And but they still, you know, had those Iroquois roots and they still copied.
Well, can I interrupt on here? Because, you know, basically there's a fundamental difference between the Native American system of government and the current American system of government. Once you were chief, you were stuck with the job for the rest of your life pretty much. I mean, yes, there were some depositions and so forth, you know, and you had to be thinking about what was going to be going on. What you did today, you know, was going to possibly make your life a whole lot more complicated 7-8 years down the road. You know, here in the United States, most of our politicians are thinking 2, 4, 6, at the maximum 8 years into the future, and after that, they don't care what's going on. I mean, look at what George Bush is doing now. He's just trying to make the GOP look as good as they can for the election, and after that, when it blows up, it's somebody else's problem. He's just going to take his money and move down to that place he bought in Paraguay. And it is one of the aspects of the American form of government is it tends to be short-sighted. It's why we've got all this accumulating debt. Every administration, every Congress says, well, we'll borrow a little bit more, and it's somebody else's problem to pay it back. And that's why we're in the mess that we're in right now, and it obviously cannot continue much longer.
And I'll say this. I worked for the federal government, for the beast, for 35 total years, counting my time in the Air Force. And my hitch I did. And I saw it from down a floor level. They cannot plan for, and I'll say diddly squat so we don't get in trouble with the FCC here.
Mm-hmm.
They can't do it. They can't see. Look, they can't see next week. I've observed it, and the only reason that it runs is they don't go out of business is it's the government and they use the taxpayers' money. They have
which
an
is exactly
supply.
What just happened
if
again.
If they ran
yeah.
a business like they ran the place I just retired from here 2 years ago, it would have been out of business years ago.
Definitely, Clarence.
So,
we got to let you go.
That's all I got to say. I don't want to belabor it.
Yeah, because we got other callers on the line. So aloha, Clarence. Call back in again, then.
You bet.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. All right, we're going to switch to Mo from Oregon. Mo, aloha. Well, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much. Aloha.
Aloha.
Michael. Thank you very much for taking my call. You know, economic is just is what you see is an artificial. Whatever you see right now, stock market went up and everybody happy. It seems to be a happy, etc. It is a temporary patch. It's like a band. You put a bandage, but once bandage again will be coming off, then it stock market will be going down. And it will go to 8,000 range sooner or later. And so, I mean, another question is very important that our beloved brothers and sisters in hurricane hit area of Ike and Gustavo, I mean, they need water, they need food, and still FEMA truck drivers still are behind the schedule. And still people are hungry in those areas. And then Mr. Bush suddenly issues $80 billion bailout of AIG. From where he brings the money? How come he doesn't care for the people of the United States? Can you please answer me that question?
Well, first of all, I want to go back to what you said, the first part of your comment about the stock market, you know, recovering and everybody being happy. But I want everybody to listen to this really carefully because you need to be spreading this out on the Internet virally. If, yes, we had two wonderful rallying days of the stock market Thursday and Friday this week when the bailout was announced, but they followed on a couple of really serious plunges. So the bottom line is that the stock market closed last night pretty much where it was a week ago. And it cost us $1 trillion just to keep it there. So I know everybody's celebrating because it looks really good, but it really isn't. We got back to where we were a week ago, and it cost $1 trillion to do that. Now, obviously, that is not going to, that's not a very good rate of return on that kind of an investment, to basically stay flat for $1 trillion. Now, as far as the victims of Hurricane Ike and Gustav, it is painfully obvious that the United States government, as wonderfully concerned as they are about the health of our financial industry, that they have not learned their lessons from Hurricane Katrina, that FEMA is still woefully unprepared to deal with civil emergencies. And you have to remember, what FEMA's real task is, what 90% of their budget is geared for, is taking care of the government in a crisis. FEMA doesn't exist to take care of the people, other than as a cosmetic appearance that, yes, we're spending our tax dollars to take care of the country. FEMA's real goal, their real mission, is to protect the government in times of crisis, meaning to help protect the government against the effects of a popular revolution. FEMA is building all these underground bunkers and all these command centers and all this other stuff, you know, that is all about protecting the government. It's not about taking care of the people. And we keep seeing that over and over again. We saw it with Katrina. We saw it with Gustav. We saw it with Ike. We'll see it with every natural disaster to hit the United States. They'll come in and they'll put on a good show in front of the TV cameras, and where they can't look good for the TV cameras are kept out. We're hearing that already from down in Texas, that there are still places the media is not allowed to go in and look at because they're afraid they're going to see more pictures like what we saw at Katrina hit the media just before the election. And that is to be blocked at all at every possible occurrence.
And I have one more comment for you, please, before sure. I let other people talk. I don't know if you are aware of this martial law exercise in California from November 13 to November 18 at 10 a.m. Millions of Southern California in the shakeout drill, the largest earthquake preparedness activity in U.S. history. And the website is www.shakeout.org. Please put this one on your page. And, is the biggest military and drill exercise in Southern California for 5 days, starting on the November 13th.
All right, I will definitely put that up there. You know, we're seeing these drills all across the country, and basically what they're doing is they're training counterinsurgency. They'll say they're preparing for terror, they're preparing for earthquakes, preparing for whatever. But if you actually look at what they're doing on the streets, in the air, it's counterinsurgency. The government realizes it's pushed the people to the edge of revolution. This latest bailout plan has got everybody so angry. The government is just terrified there's going to be a revolt of some kind, and they're basically training up to do it. They're teaching young Americans to shoot old Americans in the streets is really what it comes down to. Bill, we got to let you go. We're at the end of this segment. I'm sorry, Mo, we have to let you go.
Yes.
Bill, we're going to get to you.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Aloha. Bill, we're going to get to you after this next commercial break, so thank you for your patience and hang on to the phone there. This brings us to the end of this segment, so we're going to stop here, run some commercials. We're going to come back with phone calls, and we're still going to be getting into the economy. Boy, if you have never been angry before in your life, now's the time to learn. Now's the time to learn that, to heck with anger management. I am pissed off. And if you aren't, something is wrong with you. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Call Mike now at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231.
And welcome back to the show. We've got Bill, John, and Mike waiting on the phones. We're going to go to Bill in Florida. Bill, aloha. What's on your mind?
Hello, sir. How are you doing? First of all, I wanted to make sure I mentioned that in my own mind, my own heart, I'm perfectly assured that there really is a heaven, really a God, you know, in the heavens beyond. Mm-hmm. No doubt in my mind. You know, I mean, I know that, this is only a temporary place. A lot of people don't know what to believe in, but, I mean, I'm convinced that there really is a bigger and better place beyond for us. That's what is a motivating factor for me. Secondly, I thought I'd mention that U.S. Ambassador at Large John J. Miller is working right now. He's a retired ambassador at large. That means that he's in charge of all ambassadors. I wanted to mention his name to you. Also, Senator Robert Smith, who is a retired senator. What they have in common is that they've endorsed information where there have been probably 25,000, 30,000 American citizens who have been abducted since 1945. They are authorities, and they will vouch for that information. So
abducted by who?
Well, by the Russians, basically the communist countries, over the years. One more person, Mr. John Spiegelthaler, who was a personal advisor to President Kennedy, is fully aware of that information. So I thought what I'd do is fax that material to you. We're common people. You know, we don't have the credentials. At least I am, anyway. I don't have the credentials to say, well, believe this, believe that. But if you hear a U.S. ambassador at large say, yes, there were between 25,000 and 30,000 Americans abducted, there are Russian slave
camps.
Okay,
well, Bill, I don't actually have a fax machine, but if you could email me that, I'll take a look at that, okay? So, you know, we'll get onto that story there as well. The one thing you have to be very, very careful about right now is our government is just desperate to bring back the Cold War. We actually had Putin 3 days ago get up and make a statement saying the U.S. is trying to restart the Cold War. We're not going to go along with it. We refuse to play. I can understand that. Russia lost the last Cold War. We bankrupted them. You know, they hit bankruptcy just ahead of the United States, buying all these missiles and bombers and stuff. And right now, with the American people obviously having lost all faith and trust in the U.S. government is thinking, well, gee, if we could only bring back the Cold War, then we just gotta wave Russians at them, and they'll be so scared they'll give us all their money and blah, 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 blah. And frankly, it's a lot of nonsense. I have to be very skeptical of this claim that Russians are kidnapping Americans and taking them back to Russia. Why? We eat too much. We don't know how to do anything. Why would they want us? I'm sorry. And that's where the story is. We're going to go to John in California. Aloha, John. Welcome to the show.
Aloha, Mr. Rivero.
What can I do for you?
Hey, just a couple of quick comments today. Maybe you can elaborate on them. But the 49 weeks prior to the announcement of the bailout, the stock market declined by 33%. And also, doesn't this bailout just transfer debt onto the Treasury and downgrade their bond status to essentially junk?
It has the potential to do it, but they're not transferring the debt onto the Treasury. They're transferring the debt onto the American people because it's simply assumed that whatever... Okay, we seem to have had a technical issue there. Whatever debt is moved onto the Treasury is simply passed along to the people in the form of either higher taxes or reduced government spending, probably a combination of the two of them. But basically, it amounts to $1 trillion disappearing from the consumer sector of the economy, which means retail sales are going to suffer, manufacturing will decline still further, more companies are going to go out of business, more jobs will be lost, more homes will be foreclosed. This hasn't really solved the problem. It's just taken the debt off the really rich bankers and moved it on to us. And like I said, it's like being in Las Vegas at the blackjack table, and they changed the rules. So when you win, you get to keep the money. But every time you lose, we're going to stick the busboy over there clearing the tables with the costs. That's exactly what has just happened in the simplest possible terms. And, you know, there's no real reason for it other than our president is a rich man. Congress is rich. They're all invested in the stock market. They're going to do what gets them off the hook for the debts and sticks other people with it. That's the whole policy. That's the whole agenda. There's no high ideal or objective being served here. It is simply, oh, gee, we got into trouble. Let's stick the taxpayers with the mess and take our money and get the heck out of here. All right, we're going to switch over to Mike in Georgia. Mike, aloha. What's on your mind?
Well, I took your advice that you had in your letter as far as calling your senators and your congressmen and, you know, stating in opposition to this. And beyond that, you know, I told them that this is criminal and that I'm going to challenge and oppose paying this tax. That's really the part I was wondering about. Have you really considered that in your letter, what you meant, how you're going to oppose this?
Well, I think the first part is in an election year is that you simply express that you're going to oppose it. And as I said, the second part of it is you tell them, I'm not going to vote for anybody who suggests that I should pay for these other people's mistakes. And it's having an effect. Now, I don't know if it goes back to my letter or just a general popular sentiment, but congressional offices are reporting they've been flooded with phone calls. And we are starting to see some members of the House of Representatives get up and say, this is stupid to do. It's not really going to fix the situation. It's just a favor to big banks and big investors who are huge political donors. So it is beginning to have a little bit of effect. And as Bush moves forward with this, he's going to meet some opposition. He's probably going to steamroller over it anyway. The next phase after that is, you know, we're going to have to figure out ways that we don't get stuck with this bill. How do we put it back onto the government? How do we put it back onto the corporations? The bottom line is, I don't think in the long run it's even going to be able to work. For the reasons that I said when I was talking to the last caller, it's not like the money has just come out of nowhere. I mean, the Federal Reserve prints it up and says, you owe us the repayment somewhere down the road, 3 or 4 years. And they put it out in circulation. That drives up inflation. And at the same time, we're already hearing from other countries like China that they want to either walk away from the Bretton Woods Agreement or they want to change the reserve currency from the U.S. dollar to some other currency like the euro. You know, that will also end the high value of the dollar internationally. So we're looking at an inflationary depression, which is about the worst one that you can come up with. And what we're seeing with Bush and his bailout is he and his very rich cronies, they're basically heading for the lifeboats, okay? The ship of state has hit the iceberg. It's down by the bow. They're running for the lifeboats. You and I and everybody else, we're the steerage passengers. We're going to be left behind, stuck on this thing as it sinks inevitably into a sea of debt. And that's probably the best image that I can put out there right now. So we have to get angry, and you know they're going to keep on doing it. They're going to keep on taking from us.
Stalling though, and one of the things I suggested to them is that I'm going to be looking to see if we can recall them because this is unconstitutional. And they took an oath, and if they don't follow that oath, they should be removed from office.
Okay, well, at the risk of really getting into some areas where there's going to be some serious upset with me, I think the time when we can work within the system is kind of past, because as long as we let them make the rules and change the rules at will, there won't be a recall. We'll say we want a recall, and they'll say, well, recalls are temporarily suspended for the duration of the emergency.
If we could push on the state level, though, and even more locally to get the locals to push to the state. Doesn't the state representatives also take an oath that they're obligated to challenge something? You know, there are representatives. They're supposed to.
They were already supposed to do it. They haven't done it. Listen, I hate to be brutal about this, but I think the only option left to the American people to get out of this tax-happy government that isn't listening to us is the 1776 option, which is what we did the last time we had a tax-happy government that was not listening to us.
I don't want to make a target out of you. You
know, well, we're all targets right now. Bush just made us all targets. They're coming after the last of our money right now. We're all targets now, you know, and that's just the reality of the situation.
Well, you know, and I agree with you, but, you know, unless everybody rises up at once, I don't want to, we can't just have a leader. That's the problem now. We've got leaders, you know, that have no reason to take authorization like to do it. Each one of them just replaces themselves with the same thing.
That's exactly right. And there's a whole bunch of crooks lined up to take over the jobs. All right, John, we got to let you go. We got to take a break here. We're going to have some commercials. We're going to have a news break.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Aloha. We'll be back with hour two of our show after the news break. And so get ready to call in 800-259-9231. We're going to talk about the economy. We're going to talk about this crisis that we're in Bush's bailout plan has not fixed the situation. It's made it worse. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio show.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to hour two of our show. Greetings to our ground affiliates across the eastern part of this country, at least. And we are continuing to talk about the economy. We're continuing to talk about the bombing of the Marriott Hotel in Islamabad. And I am getting some emails from people who are apparently attached to the military who are saying that they're looking at pictures of that bomb crater, and they agree it looks more like a missile or bomb strike than a truck bomb. We are now getting a report that there were actually at least two explosions reported by witnesses, a smaller one, and then it was followed almost immediately by a considerably larger one. So I got to tell you, like I said, the timing of this attack is suspicious. It comes right on the heels of Pakistan telling the U.S. to stay out of its borders. It shows up just in time to distract the news media from this rape of the American taxpayer called the bailout plan. And it happens just in time to give John McCain a terrorist flag to wave around in his upcoming debate with Barack Obama. So on the basis of suspicious timing alone, and given that we live with a government that doesn't know how to tell the truth about anything, I'm suspicious of the official story. We have a caller who's been waiting on the line since before the news break. Silverhawk, aloha. Welcome to the show.
Aloha. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. What's on your mind?
Well, I just woke up to a beautiful sunrise here in Hawaii. We only get about 2 hours of sun a day. I'm on the Big Island.
Mm-hmm.
The fog from the volcano kind of settles the head and covers the whole west side of the island.
Which part of the island are you living on?
For South Point.
I know exactly where you are. Yeah, the fog is really, really bad there. We even get it up here on Oahu, and it just reminds me of those days I lived in Los Angeles.
Well,
the eyes tearing, the throat hurting, you know, it's just... We shouldn't say that. We've got potential tourists coming to Hawaii. We're going to scare them off.
Well, hopefully that we get some tourists here because we're really hurting. But, you know,
yeah, it is. It's really bad. But listen, the good news is, we just spotted Al Gore running up the side of the volcano with a gigantic cork because of all those greenhouse gases that Pele is putting out. So he's going to be up there pounding that cork, and the VOG problem is going to go away.
Well, you know, we're putting out tons of emission every day, and we have probably 15 volcanoes on the Earth that are spewing toxic fumes, and they're blaming all those humans for the little bit of air that we breathe. And you know what? I think we're actually in a really good place because everybody is waking up and getting aware of what's going on around us, this false reality that we've been hooked into for 50 years called the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people I know are destroying their TVs, turning off that mass media called newspaper and television and media that's all owned by these corporate junkies that are stealing all our investments, roads, banks. We're bailing out the banks now. And, you know, it's putting us in a really smart place because we're being aware of what's going on. And
yeah, well, that's of course what the beauty of the internet and the alternative media is all about. And the analogy I like to use is if you go back and you look at how the world changed after Gutenberg invented movable type, this is really pretty much the same thing. And those ruling systems, governmental systems that are able to evolve and adapt to the new reality, they're going to do okay. Those that cannot are doomed. And unfortunately, the problem with the United States government is it has so many secrets it's having to keep, it can't come clean. It can't all of a sudden say, all right, we're going to start telling the truth, or it's going to implode. So they're kind of stuck in this old reality, and as a result, they're inevitably going to go extinct. There's no alternative.
Yes, but actually what they're doing now is they're quickening the pace of the end of America, which, you know, is actually, I think, a good thing, because we need to go back to our Constitution and our Bill of Rights.
Yes, we do.
And
yes,
that
we
should
do.
Be a worldwide thing.
No,
and,
I think,
you know,
I think
we created
the model...
this nation to be a peaceful nation, not a nation to go around bombing innocent people in Pakistan because we want to invade their country. And, you know, that's where I think they're going to start the next war. It's not Afghanistan. It's not Russia. It's all a game. They're trying to get India and Pakistan to be in a war and say, oh, you know, they're this Kashmir thing, India, Pakistan, that's where they want the war, because they want to keep China and Russia busy on their border so we can go around and westernize every other country and sell them Coke and Pepsi. It's really bad what we're doing. We
yeah,
should
it,
do it,
it is.
The other way, the peaceful way, the diplomatic way. It should stop this corporate fascism we've got running rampant throughout the world. It's just incredible what's going on, but, you know, it's going to be a whole new beginning. Their time, this dark side, this evil empire, black, whatever you want to call it, Luciferian rulership, is getting ready to end. And they're quickening it.
Well,
I think
they know it.
The best thing we can do is don't put up with it. You say no.
I agree. That's right. You got to say no. Everybody's got to start saying no. The government is
saying
no.
I've been writing these congressmen telling them to wake up, because you know what? They're in the old world.
Yes.
And it's not like that anymore.
No,
you know,
you
I wrote my congressman.
Face.
Huh?
You got to get in their face.
I wrote my congressman back in the 90s. You remember the Cubans that invented a boat out of their truck?
Yes.
That got all the way to the shore of Miami, and then they turned them back. Well, these are the people I want in our country. They had ingenuity. They wanted to get here for a reason, to be free, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want in the world. I want everybody in the world to be free, free from tyranny, free from other people pushing us around and taking
you
what
know,
we have.
Let me cut in here for a second. You know, one of the worst lies our government has been giving to us over the last several years is that terrorists hate freedom and these other people in these other countries hate us because we're free. That is absolutely nonsense.
Freedom.
Because you are correct. All people love freedom. It is only governments and religious leaders who hate freedom
right.
and who will do anything to make sure
right.
we're not free. They want us
That's
to stay there and
to...
do as we're told.
Right. I think Timothy Leary was right. We drop out. We grow our own food. We stop consuming their baubles and trinkets and all their things and really get to what we're here for. That's the lesson of life. And to learn that we can provide for ourselves and we don't need all their other crap. Grow
no,
food,
we really don't.
Grow food. Grow your brain. Get off their crap, their indoctrinated food, the GMO, the beef brains, and get yourself right. And that's all it takes. And because it's a beautiful world, and there's way more of us than them.
Yeah,
and
America's definitely.
The last stand. We're armed. No other country's armed like we are. So we have to make the difference.
We absolutely do. I agree with you wholeheartedly. The bottom line is, it should be obvious to everybody by now that the U.S. government is not going to change their policies toward the people. They're just going to keep on taking more and more from us to give to themselves. They have no reason to change it right now. And the bottom line is, and I'm already getting emails over what I was saying in the last hour of the show about, well, you know, can't we still work within the system? And the answer is no, because every time you find some means within the law and the system to get power and money returned back to the people, the government will change the rules, or they'll simply ignore the rules. I mean, just absolutely.
Right.
Okay, we got to let you go, Silver. It's the end of our segment. We got to take a break here and come back and talk about some other things. So aloha, and thank you very much for calling.
Okay.
All right, we're going to be
Enjoy
right back.
Beautiful.
All right, we're going to be right back here. Again, if you want to join us on the air, 800-259-9231. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of searching for Freak Talk Radio? Well, search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Fear and hate will rule them, said the demon to his robe. In shackles we will bind them, to the terror they'll be shown. As mindless slaves they will not think, blind eyes they will not see. They'll jail themselves and call the bars the land security.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we're going to be ragging on the economy and on this latest boneheaded plan by George Bush. And it isn't even his plan. This is a replay of what his father did with the SNL crisis back in the 1980s. Deregulate, raise the insurance limits on all the stuff, let every crony make a huge fortune. When it all falls apart, you dump it on the taxpayers. That's what George Bush Sr. did back then. It's what his son is doing now. The only difference is the scale. It is a much, much larger problem right now. Now, latest Rasmussen poll, just breaking this morning, only 7% of Americans agree with this idea of a bailout, and I'm willing to bet a whole 5 cents that most of that 7% are stockbrokers or executives in investment banks. The poll that we put up on our own website, whatreallyhappened.com, plug, is actually showing 3% of respondents think the bailout's a good idea. So, you know, this is something which obviously most Americans are realizing. It is just, it's a joke, is really what it is. The financial institutions got greedy. They went out and made a lot of very reckless decisions and choices. And they got into trouble. And, you know, they run back to that same government they were insisting had no right to regulate the financial markets. But now they want a bailout. They want government to make it all better. Take the losses away from us, buy up all these products that we put together that nobody wants to buy, and make the people buy them. That's really what it comes down to. One of our callers was saying before that if private companies ran the way the government did, they'd be out of business. That's absolutely true. If you have a company and you make a product and nobody wants to buy it, you go out of business. And you learn from your lessons. You evolve. You come up with better ideas of how to do things. You come up with better products that work better, that serve the customer better, and then you sell those. But no, not if you're Wall Street. You come up with a bunch of products that nobody wants to buy. You go to the government and you say, make the people as a whole buy them. And that's exactly what George Bush is doing. We've got a caller on the line. We're going to go to Ken in California. Ken, aloha. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike.
Aloha.
I'd like to start off by saying I love everything that GCN is doing, and your programs like yours, and free speech is definitely under attack. I'm being hit with a restraining order by my by Representative Jerry Lewis of the 41st District.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I don't deserve representation.
Well, apparently not.
I thought our rights were unalienable, meaning that they...
Unalienable,
whatever the term is. I've used both. Either way I slice it, either way I say it, I don't see it.
Well, can you tell us what it is that the representative objects to without violating your restraining order? Because I don't want to see
you
in jail.
Well, there's no restraint. I haven't been served yet. They called the FBI on me, then they sent the local cops out here to investigate me like I'm a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
I said, basically, I'm just a PO'd American. I am sick and tired of them not listening to us. I made no threats against anyone other than I told the one lady, one of my representatives, so-called representatives, I said, look, you guys aren't listening to me. You're fired. Get the hell out of my office, is what I said. And then I asked, under freedom of the press, because I am press, I'm one of your affiliates, basically I said, well, what would happen if I come down there with a video crew so we can tell the whole world why you're not representing me as a citizen of this country? And she goes, we'll have you arrested, sir, for disrupting our office. I go, but isn't your office my office? Aren't I one of we, the people?
And her reply?
And they had nothing to say.
Well, I can imagine that they didn't. The bottom line is government has definitely forgotten that they are our employees.
Well, they haven't forgotten this when it comes to sticking everything on our backs.
Oh yeah, they see themselves as our masters, very obviously in their attitude, and it's going to go on that way. They've got no reason to change because all the benefits going their direction until we the people force a change. And I know I'm getting a lot of emails from people saying, ooh, how can you say that? How can you say it? Well, listen, if there was a way...
If you're not listening, we have to do something.
Yeah, if there was a peaceful way to reverse the situation, to put the debt back onto the people who incurred it, instead of having it dumped on us, if there was a way to get back honest elections peacefully, if there was a way to get government to be truthful with us peacefully, if there was a way to get the government to stop starting wars based on lies peacefully, we would have done it by now. But as I keep telling everybody, you know, it's pointless to talk about finding a way to work within the law and the system, because every time you do, they will change the rules.
Exactly. Well, that's why, like with the free speech thing, I thought I had free speech. So there was two women in the congressman's office, actually, who filed the request for a restraining order against me because they fear me. And my contention is they're darn right they should fear all of us, because we are their employers. We are their bosses. They should fear us. When, mm-hmm. You know, I like the statement that was made by one of our founders, when the government fears the people, there is liberty. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. There is tyranny. I fear
yes.
my government. I am in fear of my freedoms. I am in fear of my liberties. I am even in fear of my life for speaking up. I've been speaking up for 6 years to this congressperson. I have got nothing but diatribe and crap and lip service. I have got no representation.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a good thing, some good news about that fear thing here, because after a while, you know, fear takes a lot of energy. And after a while, you get so tired of being afraid, you simply stop being afraid. I've gone past that point. I used to be afraid of the government all the time. Okay? I don't care anymore. I know they can come in and kill me anytime they want. I just don't care. You need to get angry, because anger kills fear. If you want to stop being afraid...
I am angry.
Yeah.
You know, even though I'm fearful, I mean, I'm not currently calling them, but they are abridging, or they're usurping my right, basically a birthright, where this nation was born on these rights.
Mm-hmm.
And I've served my country in the military, and you know, now that makes me a bigger threat. I mean, that's why the FBI sent out the local cops like I'm some criminal. I've got
mm-hmm.
prior military service. I've been a good American. I've paid my taxes, and now they want to slap me down because I have a little dissent and I'm not happy.
That's the current plan. And again, why should they change the system? It's you know, it gets them what they want.
Yeah,
you know, we have free speech zones. Say again?
I said it seems to be working for them. Why change it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. They're not going to change it. Why would they change it? They get to do whatever they want, and if it doesn't work out, they dump the costs on us.
Correct. And you know, we have no say in this. They tell us we have a say, but yet, oh, guess what? These investment bankers made bad deals. They fudged on paperwork. They took people that could, and the government's trying to obfuscate this off or change the blame over to the financial markets and stuff, when they are the exact root cause of this debacle we're in now.
Yeah, very much so, and we're going to get into that in the next segment, because I want to lay out exactly who's to blame, because already we're seeing the scapegoating going on. You know, and they're looking for victims that they can burn at the stake in the public square and say, that was who was to blame, and we have punished them, and therefore everything is back to the way it should be. So we're at the end of our segment here. Ken, we're going to let you go here. Aloha. Thank you very much for calling the show, and hopefully you'll call in again. All right. We're going to take a deep breath here. We're going to calm down. When we come back, we're going to spend the rest of the show talking about the economic mess this country is in, why President Bush's bailout has not only not fixed the situation, it has probably made things considerably, considerably worse. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Call Mike now at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231.
And aloha. Welcome back to our show. The media is following orders, and their focus is almost totally on this bombing or missile attack or whatever it is in Pakistan. And they're waving around that Bush is saying, we will stand with Pakistan against the terrorists and blah, 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 blah. And as I said before, the timing's a little too cute, and I am not buying it. I think this bombing is a setup to give Bush to the excuse to basically go out and look presidential and talk about terrorism and not have to talk about the economy. Well, we're going to talk about the economy right here. To recap from some of the points we made over this last week's series of broadcasts, imagine that you're in Las Vegas and you're playing blackjack, and they have changed the house rules for you so that every time you draw 21 or the dealer goes bust, you know, you get to keep your winnings, put it in your pocket, and have fun. And every time you bust or the dealer beats you or gets 21, instead of taking your chips, they go over and they take money away from the busboy who's clearing the table off to one side. Now, with a deal like that, you're going to sit there in that casino and just play and play and play and play and feed your gambling addiction, which is what drives a lot of the stock market these days. A lot of people who are in there aren't in there for the money or the dividends. They're in there for the action. It really is an East Coast gambling casino for the rich, and they've got gambling fever. And every time they get close to gambler's ruin, they run crying to the government and say, take the money from the busboy clearing the table over there. And that's exactly what's been going on. We have got the financial industry saying we should not be regulated. It's a free market. We should just let the market decide what's going on. And when the market goes in their favor, they're happy as heck to take their multi-million-dollar bonuses and buy mansions and yachts and fancy cars and the rest of it. But when the market goes against them, then they run to the government and say, fix it for us at taxpayer expense. Now, talk about a case of bad timing. Only a month ago, John McCain was out there extolling the virtues of an unregulated financial industry and even suggesting that medical care should be run exactly the same way. Talk about lousy timing. Now, of course, we've got the economic meltdown, and everybody already knows that U.S. health care is in the world of hurt. But McCain is the champion of unregulated economic industry, and now he's got to live with that. So, boy, lucky for McCain that this bombing has happened, because now he can go into the debate this next week with Barack Obama and talk about terrorists and al-Qaeda and the threat to America and how, and you're weak on terror because you'd actually talk to them to make peace, and I'm just going to go bomb them. And, you know, it is. It's just too cute. The timing is just too cute for this bombing. It just helps out so many people to have it happen right now. Let me ask you a question. Why, at a point when the government of Pakistan was finally standing up to the United States and saying, get out, would al-Qaeda stage a terror attack against a hotel that would practically be an engraved invitation for the U.S. to come back in? And the answer is they wouldn't. It's a setup. It's another phony, false flag terror attack like 9/11, like the London Tube bombing, like Madrid. It's a fake. Last night on FX Channel, they were showing the movie V, again, which I think the popularity of that film is people do see it as a metaphor for our times, where the government stages hoaxes. It stages biological attacks at these hospitals that kill hundreds of thousands of people and blames it on Muslims and homosexuals and uses it to justify repression. And I think it's just more of the same. Government has to create the crisis that it's going to sell you the solution to. Now, back to the economy. The reality is that in order to bail out this mess, they're talking $700 billion now because it doesn't sound quite as bad as a trillion, but a trillion is what everybody's been saying behind the scene. And the bottom line is, we really don't know how much this recovery is going to cost. Because, first of all, remember the SNL bailout turned out to be considerably larger than they promised it was going to cost us. And remember, we're dealing with the same people who promised us that Iraq's oil was going to pay for that war and for the reconstruction. And that turned out to be an optimistic assessment. So they're saying $700 billion figure, at least a billion could go higher than that for the very simple reason that once that window opens, where the government is going to buy on your behalf every asset that the financial industry is desperate to get rid of, they're going to start finding more of them. Up until now, these financial industries have been kind of hiding this stuff because it makes them look bad to their stockholders. and their investors and their customers and their clients. Once that window is open, they're going to go, oh, look over here. We didn't realize we had this. And they'll take it, and they'll take it to the window, and they'll get their money for it, and they'll go back and have a lot of fun. And we will get stuck holding all these assets nobody wanted, and we will pay for them with higher taxes and reduced government service. We are being impoverished to make Wall Street richer. It's kind of like Robin Hood in reverse. Rob the poor to give to the rich. And the problem is it doesn't really solve the situation. As I mentioned in the last hour, everybody is celebrating over the fact that the stock market ended up on Friday. But it really, it's where it was a week ago. We had 2 days of ups, but we had 2 days of downs. So Friday the market closed at exactly where it was a week ago, and it cost the American people $1 trillion to do that, to just hold it where it had been a week ago. Now that's not going to last very long, especially as people begin to realize the implications of yet another $1 trillion in fiat money printed up by the Federal Reserve dumped into the economic system. Because remember, all that money they're talking about, Wall Street's losses, the money hasn't disappeared. It didn't vanish. It wasn't set fire to. It just isn't where Wall Street thought it ought to be. It's still out there. It's circulating around the globe, around America. The currency is still out there. The money is still out there. It just escaped Wall Street's control. That's the unpardonable sin part of it. So now there's another $1 trillion, and it's going to come into Wall Street. And first of all, every time we save Wall Street from the consequences of its bad decisions, it just encourages them to go on making those same bad decisions all over again. Because with this money coming in to replace those bad assets, they can't just put it in the vault. They have to get it out there working, performing. In other words, we can count on seeing a new flood of credit card offers in the mail. We're going to see another flood of, you know, cheap credit, loans on anything. And because we don't have a lot of manufacturing left in this country, these banks and financial institutions are going to go back to loaning money to some very questionable business propositions, which are basically going to be say, well, if we take this debt and package it up and lever it this way and put it over and wrap it in a big pink bow, it'll just grow magically all by itself. And we already know that that doesn't work. By bailing out Wall Street, that $1 trillion is a disincentive to learn from their mistakes. They're going to go right back to doing what they're doing. Plus, on top of that, not only are we the people on the hook, tax-wise, for that $1 trillion, but we're going to be paying for it a second way. Because when that $1 trillion hits our economy, it's going to drive prices up. Because when you have a lot of money chasing too few goods and services, prices go up. We're seeing it already in the commodities markets. That's the classic formula for inflationary price rises, because prices will always rise to absorb the available capital. So the dollar is going to decline in worth, prices are going to go up, and we will pay for that $1 trillion that way, just in our reduced standard of living, as our paychecks are able to buy less and less. Plus, we're getting taxed on top of it all to repay that $1 trillion to the Federal Reserve plus interest. Such a deal. No wonder the stockbrokers love it. No wonder they're happy. They get to dump all of their problems on we, the people. And they're going to do it unless you stand up and say, no, we won't. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors. Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. I want to share some words of wisdom with you that somebody just wrote into me and says it's, you know, about getting angry, and it's time to get angry. It's better to be pissed off than pissed on. And we're really facing that choice right now. And I know it's a very uncomfortable place for a lot of people to be looking at. But it should be obvious from the way that the Bush administration has acted this last week. First of all, they're not thinking about the long-term good of the country. It's a quick fix. It's a patch. It's designed to make the economy look, if not healthy, at least like it's working until the election. And after the election, I think everybody knows it's going to fall apart. And the reason we know that is really quite simple. In August, I don't know about your part of the country, but here in Hawaii, in August, summer, we started seeing the Christmas merchandising hit the stores. Christmas ornaments, Christmas wrap, Christmas gifts, cards, everything. In summer, I mean, we're still out there at the beaches. Well, we're in Hawaii. We're always on the beaches. But, I mean, the whole point is, in summer, they're trying to start the Christmas shopping season. Normally, they at least have the decency to wait until Halloween. And I think the reason was very obvious. They know that come November, December, we're not going to have any money for any Christmas shopping at all. And so this is a Hail Mary pass, if you will, at wringing a little bit of Christmas money out of us before it all falls apart. So the government is not going to be taking care of you. They're taking care of themselves. Congress is going to vote the way their stock portfolios are pointing, which is bailout. They have no reason to change the system because it works for them. They're all rich. John McCain's got so many houses he doesn't even remember how many he owns. The system works for them. They're not going to change it. They've got no reason to change it. And every time anybody finds something in the law that says the government can't do X, Y, Z, the government will change the rules and say it's in the common good, the common interest. Look what they've done to the Bill of Rights. Free speech, not anymore. Free speech zones is what we have. Fourth Amendment is pretty much a joke. Fifth Amendment, pretty much a joke. We still have the Second Amendment. We better hang on to that one because that's the reset button on it all. We're going to go to the phones. We've got Chris in Florida. Aloha, Chris. What is on your mind?
Well, you can write off McCain pretty much. I've noticed he has an unusually high number of liver spots or age spots on his hands, which is indicative of rancid fatty acids. So maybe McCain's had a number, a little bit too many McNuggets. I don't know, but that's just a telltale sign of senility.
Thanks. I mean, I got a few of those myself.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, DMAE, then I should also... I hope both you and he take care of them. DMAE is a supplement for that. Dimethylaminoethanol, essentially.
Okay.
And fish oil, of course.
My wife gives me 80 vitamin pills every morning. I'm sure there's one of those in there somewhere.
Oh, wow. That's 10 more than last week.
Anyway, well, I'm older this week.
Well, I take about that many, too. We all have so many heavy metals and such in us. But anyway, all the candidates, it disturbs me, and the vice presidential candidates are deliberately lying to the whole world. When they say that Russia attacked without provocation, and I just am concerned about that they are all warmongers, at least the thugs on this side of the world are somewhat more under our influence than the Russians. So I think we as citizens have the obligation to contact our elected officials as much as possible. But, you know, it's amazing, this financial crisis. The elected state officials like Elliot Spitzer did try to stop the OCC, Office of mm-hmm. Currency Comptroller, from preempting them from the predatory lending and forcing the fascism, socialism, and slavery and involuntary servitude onto us.
That's why they took Spitzer down.
Absolutely. And there's plenty of prior warning that this subprime bubble was forming. Ron Paul, for example, not to mention many of the independent analysts and IMF, World Bank documents, as Alex points out all the time, as well as the CFR, and plans to implement the Amero, which has the fascies on it, as do either side of the Speaker of the House. So we're well into fascism, and it's our job to take care of it. And a few of the solutions I've come across that I think could help avert all-out martial law, talk to your neighbors if any of these resonate with you. For example, the community currency like the Ithaca hour that's been in effect since 91. You can look at IthacaHours.com. A large part of their currency is local. Call more attention to Ron Paul is another answer. He was on YouTube 5 years ago warning about this. Due to the deregulation, which, as you said, McCain wants to continue. There's also, as I mentioned last time, I called buying back the Fed. The last provision of the Federal Reserve Act of 1913 in Section 30 states that the Congress can, if they have the intestinal fortitude. The MoneyMasters.com has the Monetary Reform Act. Then there's, interestingly enough, Jim Percy says that if you've had your mortgage assigned or bought out by another company, then it's null and void and you don't have to pay it. So
that's not exactly it. That's not exactly it. On that issue, what the courts have ruled is that unless somebody can actually put their hand on the paper and show that they have ownership of that note, they can't foreclose you. And that is a very important safety valve. The problem that we've had and the reason it got into such a mess is all these mortgages were repackaged and resold and repackaged and resold to the point where it's almost become impossible to find out who actually holds the note on a given piece of property. And that's what the courts are starting to address. So it's not just simply saying that if your mortgage has been rebought out, you are immune from foreclosure. It isn't quite that simple, and I think anybody who takes that position, ultimately the courts tend to side with, the owners of the property. That's kind of the way capitalism works. But the courts are beginning to recognize that it's reached a degree of obfuscation where they can't enforce what they can't see.
I have a question about Paulson. Is that... Since he used to be the former head of Goldman Sachs, which is one of the companies that took advantage of the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act in 1933, that was repealed in 99. There was also, of course, Citigroup, Lehman Brothers, Morgan Stanley, mm-hmm. Merrill Lynch, and all. That's why they're all collapsing, these investment banks. But, Paulson, what can you comment on how, of course, he was part of this whole scheme, part of this whole taking advantage of the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act?
Well, basically, Goldman Sachs in and of itself has been a major, major part of the plunge protection team. They've been the primary instrument of playing these games. So, they're all technically insiders, and I think Goldman Sachs, enjoys a privileged position because they've been basically an instrument of U.S. domestic policy. We're kind of running out of time here, and there was one more story I wanted to cover. And so why don't you call back on Monday, and let's get back into this issue of Goldman Sachs, because the point I wanted to make here that I didn't make last time is one of the things the government has done to try and make it look like they're dealing with the crisis, they're scapegoating the short sellers. Now, I agree that the naked short selling had to stop. That was one of the things that definitely created problems in Wall Street. But to block all short selling and say they're to blame for the mess was completely nonsense. Our government created the mess by running up huge amounts of debt, transferring it onto the states and onto the people, and then giving tax credits to corporations to ship high-paying manufacturing jobs overseas. That is where the crisis came from. Everything would have been fine if we'd kept our population employed and able to make the payments on the mortgages and the taxes. Everything would have gone on working. So it goes back to the government. But by blocking the short sellers, and we're going to see this next week, the U.S. government has put the hedge funds into the red. They're going to start collapsing, and they're going to start screaming bailout. And the situation is just going to cascade from there. So, Chris, sorry we didn't get to answer your question in depth. We really didn't have enough time to get into it as it deserves. Call back on Monday night. We'll get into it then. This is the end of our show. Folks, get out there. Get angry. Call your friends. Tell them this bailout idea is just robbing the poor to give to Wall Street. We don't have it anymore. It's not even a question of whether we want to do it or not. We can't. One out of every 10 homes is behind in the mortgage. One out of every 5 homes is already in trouble with the IRS. We don't have any more money to give to make the rich people richer. Aloha until Monday.